Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to follow along on the Bibles in your pew Bibles before you, it's on page 205 of the New Testament. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A few words of explanation. I may appear different to you than I did when I was with you as the interim pastor. The explanation is that the facial hair was grown for a Evergreen Corral production of The Fiddler on the Roof. And you remember that that is a story of a Jewish community in Russia. So all the males had to grow beards. I had never grown a beard before, didn't know how it would come out. My problem was I was newly arrived at Mountain View Church Boulder as a staff member, and it was somewhat awkward with my coming in with a unshaven face and a scruffy look. So I shared with them what I was about. They promptly then monitored the growth of the beard week in and week out, so much so that I ended up preaching a sermon, A Theology of Growing a Beard. I apologize for not being in liturgical garb. I was, of course, I keep it at the church in Boulder. Was due up on Thursday for a staff meeting. You remember we had snow on Thursday, and my senior pastor was gracious enough to call and say, don't bother to come. It is good to be back with you again to share in the vital life of this congregation, even if so briefly, and to recall those times that we spent together. Our gospel lesson on this day is from the second chapter of Matthew's gospel. I'm not going to read the entire 23 verses. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, I'm going to pick it up as we come through verse number 11. It's the story of the Magi, followed then by the story of the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken of the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that we might be the masters of ourselves, that we might become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. He had always wanted to command a battleship, and this Navy officer got his dream fulfilled when he was commissioned as captain of one of the newest and proudest ships of the fleet. One dark, stormy night, as the ship plowed through dark seas off the east coast, the captain was on the bridge for the watch. When off to the port side, he spotted a strange light closing in on his vessel. Immediately, he ordered the signalman to flash the message to the unidentified craft. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. No sooner had the message been sent than the reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Determined that his ship would not take a back seat to any other, the captain snapped out the order to be sent, alter your course 10 degrees, I am the captain. The response immediately was beamed back, alter your course 10 degrees, I am Midshipman Third Class Jones. Infuriated by now, the captain literally, in his own hands, took the signal light and fired off, order your course, I am a battleship. To which the response was, alter your course, I am a lighthouse. Through stormy seas, in the dark of night, there were three departures from Bethlehem. In a final play by the world-renowned American dramatist Eugene O'Neill, the final play was autobiographical, depicting the dysfunctionality of his family. It wasn't produced until 3 years after his death in 1956. But he entitled it A Long Day's Journey into Night. As we depart the Christmas experience, I would revise that title slightly but significantly to more adequately reflect our experience and feelings. For in the departure of the three groups from Bethlehem, we find for ourselves a long night's journey into light. In the first place, there is the long night's journey into light in the praise of the shepherds. Luke tells us that when the shepherds had seen the babe lying in the manger, they told everyone about the word which had been spoken to them concerning that child. And all who heard it were amazed at what they were told by the shepherds. And the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. It had been a long and very eventful night for those watchers of flocks. Not only had their nightly vigil been interrupted by the angelic announcement, but they had made the decision to leave their duty posts and go see this thing that had happened. But as short as the excursion was, it was too long to be away from providing protection. And so, once gazing upon mother and child, they made a hasty retreat to return to their flocks. Even though I had been to the shepherd's field and to Bethlehem, I had not realized until recently that they are two very distinct districts, until a colleague identified them for me as Bethlehem and Bethlehem. And so the sheep watchers returned home. But as they do so, something was very different. For on the way they told everyone what they had heard and seen concerning the child. You see, the shepherds were the first Christian evangelists, telling anyone who would listen far and wide the great good news that to them God's Messiah had been born. Undoubtedly, by the time they reached those fields, the first rays of the morning sun could be seen on the eastern horizon. But that did not deter their rejoicing in the midst of returning to their routine. For the commonplace now was saturated with the new glory. And even though everything was the same, nothing could be the same again for those men. For the joy was eternal. And as they would sit by the campfire, they would rehearse over and over again their experience until their lives, their home, their work radiated with the praise of all that God had done for them in the babe of Bethlehem. The shepherds had made their long night journey in delight. Secondly, there is the long night journey into light by God's providence for the wise men. You remember that in attempting to gain direction for finding the star child, the Magi, or the scholars from the east, had stopped in Jerusalem into Herod's court on their night journey. And Herod the Great had asked them to return to revisit him, to bring word to him of the child born king of the Jews. But being warned by God's providential spirit in a dream not to return, they departed for their own country by a different route, an alternate way, using the cloak of darkness to slip out of Israel and away from being informers for Herod's ultimate design. It was God's providence, God's guidance, God's plan that had led them on their journey to the child in the first place. And now it would be God's providence that would lead them on their way once again from the darkness of destruction and cruelty into the light of a new day. They departed Bethlehem with a new triptych, but also with a new spiritual awareness. They returned home by a different spiritual path. For by that star and in that dream, they learned that they had been used by God's providence in difficult, intriguing, and climactic events of that day. And so, in our return from Christmas, as we face the new year, we can take on a new direction, choose an alternate route, decide to make changes, because we know of the providence and the guidance and the prevenient grace of God always running ahead of us to show us the way in difficult, intriguing, and climactic times that we may face. Those wise men made a long night's journey into light by the providence of God. And thirdly, then, there's the long night's journey into light in God's protection for the Holy Family. How strange it is that so often life dashes us from the heights of joy to the depths of despair, from a mountaintop vision to the valley of sorrow. And this was the bewildering experience of the Holy Family. One night, the stars stood high above them. The next night, every shadow held potential danger, for it might have concealed one of Herod's henchmen. But the Lord God, whom Joseph obeyed all of his life, and whom Mary loved and was constantly faithful, did not abandon them in their hour of danger. For Joseph is warned by God's protective spirit in a dream to leave Bethlehem with his new family and to flee into Egypt. And so under the cloak of darkness, they set out as refugees for a foreign land. Through the troubled centuries before Jesus, once some peril, some tyranny, some oppression made life intolerable for the Jews, they had sought refuge in Egypt. And as a result, in every city and town in Egypt, there was a colony of Jews. Joseph, in his hour of peril, did exactly what so many Jews had done before him. And when the Holy Family finally reached Egypt, they would not altogether be strangers, but rather they would find a Jewish community of faith and support. Indeed, they speak of God's protection. There's a lovely legend that on that first night, as they had gotten out of Bethlehem, it was bitter cold, so much so that frost covered the ground. They were weary, both from the journey but also from the emotion. And so Joseph found a cave, and he and Mary and the child bedded down in that cave for the night. In that cave was a little spider. And the spider, more than anything in the world, wanted to be able to bring some warmth to the newborn infant. And so she did what a spider can only do. And that is, she weaved a web across the entranceway. And it too soon became laden with frost. Along that same path came a brigade of hurried soldiers looking for anyone with the child Jesus' age. They were about to burst into the cave to see if anyone were hiding in there when the captain happened to notice the spider webs across the entrance, simply saying to his men, "Obviously, no one's gone into this cave for a while because they would have burst the web. We have much to do and far to go. Let's keep going." The spider web had let Mary, Joseph, and the child alone in peace. The protection of God for the Holy Family was present until the threat was gone with the death of Herod the Great. And then they would journey in the light back to their home in Nazareth. So as we depart Christmas, we know God's spirit of protection goes with us into the new year. And whatever its difficulties and its dangers and its disasters that may await us, God will be with us. Dr. Clarence Hall tells of visiting Palestine and meeting a Palestinian Christian by the name of Abdul Mohammed, who had a triumphant spirit. Abdul was a waiter in a small inn near Bethlehem. Prior to the partition of Israel and the Palestinian lands by the United Nations, Abdul had been a very wealthy and prominent merchant in that section of Jerusalem that eventually became part of Israel. And he lost everything except his indomitable spirit. One evening, Abdul took Dr. Hall out to the shepherd's field. And the moonlight flooded the ancient hills. A lamb in the distance could be heard bleating. And looking towards the twinkling lights of Bethlehem, it was easy to be transported back some 2,000 years. And after standing in utter silence for a while, Abdul finally said to Dr. Hall, "Many people see no guiding light these days for either Arabs or Israelis, but they are wrong. Stars are for those who look upward, And if you keep looking up long enough in the right direction, the light will one day appear and lead us to peace. When you make your long night's journey in the light, look upward in the right direction, and the light will come. And remember the departures from Bethlehem, God's praise in the shepherds, God's providence with the wise men, God's protection for the Holy Family as we make our long night's journey into light. Let us pray. Well, Lord, we now leave the scenes of Bethlehem to return to our routines in the new year. Go with us, that in praise and providence and protection, we might be assured that you are with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.